Glory to the Lamb of God. Today's message is the attitude that wins over fear. Fear is a natural response to constant opposition, but faith is the spiritual response to human fear. When God says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, you want to please God by having faith in God. But also, there are benefits in you trusting God and his promise for you personally. So even though he's saying, you can't please me. See, one of the things, God have offered us promises. And God is saying, if you will receive my promises that I have declared for you, it's going to help you as you're journeying through this world system. See, we are in the world as believers, but we are no longer of the world. But the things of the world can affect you just like it affects everybody else. But the difference is, you got some promises of God. And God don't want us to let his promises lay dormant in the word of God, but God wants us to exercise the promises. But you can't exercise what you don't believe. You can't exercise what you don't trust. So it's more than just pleasing God. God is saying, when you trust me, you can be pleased, you can be successful, because I have provided some things in my promises for you. But if your faith waver, you lose those and you walk around as if you don't have any help, any hope. Man, wait a minute, God. I mean, God, you're moving this thing now. I get it. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. And I know you the master, you the Lord, and I need to please you. But God, when I look at this thing like this, there are some things that would please me if I would just have faith in my God. And so a lot of times you and I forfeit blessings because of our lack of faith. See, it's not that. See, many times we want to say, God provide, God provide, God do this. And some things he's already done. And we don't realize it. And some things he have given us his word on, he has already done. But my faith waver from time to time. And when that takes place, I put myself in a position, even though I have hope because of who I am, who he made me to be, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. No matter how I act or think, when you are born again, you are not the same. You are a new creature. Now, what God is saying to us, since you are a new creature, act like it. Walk in it. See, walk in who you are. See, sometimes it's not that you're not who you are. We just won't walk in it. And sometimes we won't walk in it because our faith in the God who provides this new life, we don't believe in. We believe our hurt. We believe our fear. We believe our sickness. We name it. Whatever comes down the pike, we believe that more than our God. I tell you, it's amazing how you can go over some of the same things and then you get more out of things you went over before. And the word of God is just like that. But there are things that God wants us to get out of the word of God that we can robe ourselves in for our protection and his glory. You see, God want to bless us. God has blessed us. But God said, there are some things you must apply. You know, I tell you what, we need to get if you're born again, you need to get an attitude that I'm going to trust God. Huh? Get an attitude. says, I don't want a nasty attitude, but I want a faith attitude. I'm tired of being who I am, but I act like I don't have no faith. Tired of that. If I'm going to be saved, if I'm going to be born again, waiting on the rapture, not the undertaker, but the uppertaker. And we talk about how good God is, how powerful God is, and how God is able. But I won't trust in his promises, even when I need them. You know, that person that will do that, it don't mean they don't have no problems. Mm-mm. Doesn't mean they don't have sickness, they don't have financial issues, whatever you want to name it. It doesn't mean that, but they have captured something. They have begun to take the word of God seriously. And whatever promise was theirs, they begin to say, okay, God, you say this is mine, I'm going to take you up on it. And what we do who do not take him up on it, we take upon ourselves all the fears of circumstances. We bathe ourselves, we robe ourselves in it, we live in it. And all that stuff do is burden us. It take us right on down. And then we forget that we are not beasts of burdens. God says, cast all your care upon me. And he says, let me tell you something. I'm telling you to cast your care upon me because I care about you. How many really believe that God cares about you? Not that the Bible say that, but you really believe that. So the rest of you didn't put your hand up, you don't think he cares. Because ain't nothing wrong with your hand. You see, but all you did was prove my point. You just proved my point in some of these cases. Because let me tell you something. Because we have that flesh, that old nature, warring with the Holy Spirit in us. It makes it difficult sometimes to trust God. And you see more the reality of your problems than the reality of your God. See, our problems and situations can become so real to us that they are more real than God. I know we don't want to say it, but it's true. God don't want nothing, nobody, no situation, no circumstances be more real to you than your God. You see, because we all may have our fiery furnace, you know, the three Hebrew boys. But let me tell you something. God was so real to them before they got in the furnace. And so when they were put in the furnace, God didn't become less real to them, less genuine to them. He became more. See, so if we sat back and we play the church game and all kind of games or whatever, but we won't take advantage of what God, see, it ain't that you're taking advantage of God. God give us these things so we can use them while we're sojourning here. This ain't our home, huh? But we are sojourners. See, we are here for a short time and being lights of the world and doing what God would have us to do. And so God understands that we would lose our minds with pressure if it had not been for God. And God said, I just want to cover you for your sanity. And see, just because you're a Christian, that don't mean you ain't going to go through something. Are you with me? I tell you, this is it's good to me if it ain't to nobody else. I need this. This is my message. So y'all can just sit in here with me today, okay? This one is for me. I'm talking to myself. Okay, when you and I, Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, the word just backed up everything that I was just saying. The Lord is the light. You see, I don't have to walk around in darkness when the Lord is my light. God has a way of lighting up your life, and then he tell you, let it shine. You see, God, for the believer, he is the light. But I can hinder the illumination of my light with my lack of faith. I can dim the illumination of my light by not letting it shine. So it tells me that God said, I gave you that light that you let it shine because I got a purpose for the light. See, the lighthouse sets on a big hill and shines out. And those ships that's in trouble in the storm, that they can see how to get back to shore. Oh, God is our lighthouse. And he's our deliverer, salvation. You see, many times we find ourselves not just soul salvation, soul deliverance, but also deliverance from circumstances, situations, and that will blow our minds. Many times, sometimes we need to be delivered. And it's all right to say that, but then know who can do it. Know who has the power to deliver you. See, there are some habits that some folk need to be delivered from. There are some situations. You do all you can do, but you can't deliver yourself. You need to have God as your salvation. You talk all the stuff you want to talk. There's some things you can't get out. Some things you can't deliver yourself from. But I'm telling you something. It ain't impossible with God. You remember Sarah? I can't have no babies. You know, you're making fun of me. I'm too old. Past those flower years. And God got a little upset. I see you laughing back there. You know what you're laughing, a laugh of disbelief. You don't believe I'm able to do what you think is impossible. And many times there's a silent laughter with us because we got situations that we won't even take them to God because there's a disbelief. And that disbelief disconnects us from God doing a lot of things in our lives because we don't believe him. We don't trust him. We don't have faith in him. And now we are not pleasing him. But there's a person right beside us. They believe. They trust. And so what they do, they take advantage of the benefits of being God's child. I mean, all of the word of God is good, but I got to move on. Man, I could. When you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, don't respond to the promises of our God, our faith fails under fear. But fear fails under our faith. Work both ways now. Under our faith. My first point, the attitude, the four attitudes that we should have. First one is the attitude that God will provide. Isaiah 41:10. Are you putting them on the board, Steve? Oh, okay. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. You see, that's a promise And see, whether he's talking to his Jewish people or not, when it says, I am your God, he's my God. The I am is my God, my light, my salvation. I mean, I'm not claiming somebody else's God is my light, my salvation. He is my God. Okay? And fear not. Don't let fear overcome you, no matter what the circumstance is, if you are a believer. Fear gonna come, it's gonna do what it do. But the problem is not that fear do what it does, it is if I'm gonna do what I'm supposed to do. That's the problem. It's not with fear. When fear come and I want to be dismayed, I want to be blown away, I want to just throw in the towel, I just want to stop everything, then I'm to accept my promise. Fear not, it will destroy you, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Let me tell you something, you need to highlight that part. Because God doesn't even let you ask make a statement when he says, fear not. Wait a minute, you don't know what I'm going through, God, tell me not to fear. You know what I mean? Let me talk to you. You don't know the pressure that I'm under, and you tell me not to fear. Do you realize that I'm going down for the third time? And there's no lifeline if you have the comments back with God. But see, God said, keep reading. There's a reason I'm telling you, fear not. See, he's not telling you to fear not for naught. Keep reading. He says, for I am. Woo, they sung that song today. I am. I love that song. I am with you. Let me tell you, God says when you know that God is with you, like those Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, God was in there with them. Come on, somebody. One looked like the Son of God. But like I said, they had that confidence prior to going in. Because we know what they told the king, don't we? So what I'm saying, sometimes we have lost our confidence prior to going into a situation. And let me say that this morning. If some of you are on your way in a situation when you leave here, before this money's out, take this and fortify yourself prior to. So when your fire furnace come, I ain't got to make no decision who I'm going to serve. The decision was made before you heated up the fiery furnace. Before you presented me to the fire. My decision had already been made. I'm not to fear what man can do to me, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I'm not just a God far away, sitting on my throne. You can't reach me. I am your God. Personal. You see, those who take advantage of God's promise, God's statement, I am your God. That's a personal thing, baby. Huh? That's a personal thing. He said, you got access to what I got. And I want to know, what do God have? What do God own? My God, y'all ain't with me this morning. That's the word. Just look past me and lock into the words. Don't let me distract you. I will strengthen you. So you know what this tell me? If God, if you're saying you will strengthen me, you know that fear have broken me. That's a burden on me. You know, that I'm losing strength under this situation. I'm getting weaker and weaker and weaker. He says, but look to the hills which come at your help. My help comes from the Lord. Hey! See, let me tell you something. I'm looking for my help. The reason, I can tie this right up to it. He said he'll help me. He said he would strengthen me. So if you're weak, where are you looking? Look to your help. There are promises. How many belong to God in here? And you ain't, and you're not ashamed. Okay, all right. So I'm talking to the right people. I'm talking to the right people. Okay. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. You see now, some of the things that may stop us from praying a lot of times, because God say all of this, sometimes we believe that he's going to deliver us out of situation. And then when he doesn't deliver us out of it, we stop believing. But sometimes he's going to deliver you through it. Okay? And he's going to strengthen. And see, sometimes the strength, you can have somebody on their deathbed about losing their faith. They're going through some battling cancer or whatever they're going through, and they're about to lose. And God said, look, wait a minute. There's a transition taking place in your life. But spiritually, I need to strengthen you for this transition. Now, I'm going to transition you from earth to glory. But the time I'm leaving you here and folk coming in and talk with whatever, I want to change your attitude a little bit. I want you to know that you know that you know that when you are absent from your body, because you're a believer, I'm your God, that you're going to be transitioned in the presence of the Lord. And then soon and very soon, you'll get your new body. So don't mistake in this, because you can say, yeah, I know I trust God for somebody to live and they die. Yeah. We all going to die or go up in the rapture. I'm looking to go up in the rapture. But I had a lot of other brothers said the same thing. They went by the undertaker. And I may go by the undertaker. But I'm telling you something. We need to get an attitude. I know there are some bad attitudes. And sometimes you tell your children, raise them, drop that attitude. Don't you come here with no attitude. That's a bad attitude that mom and dad are talking about. But all attitudes are not bad attitudes. It's a good one when you trust God. Let me tell you something. Man, when you trust God and folk around you know you trust God, then a lot of times you can strengthen their faith. See, they can say, man, I want to. Then they look at you and they see you. And it's like, and it doesn't mean you ain't going through nothing, but how you're going through it. Wow, man. And see, sometimes folk will look at you afar off, you know, and that don't mean you don't have your moments, but I tell you what, you got to go back to the promises. You got to search them a little bit more during those times of pressure than you did at the time of leisure. Huh? Bereavement come. You better search the scriptures. Huh? You say, you'll lose your mind. Oh, my. Huh? Lose your job. You don't know where your next meal coming from or the next paycheck or the next check. You got to make it till it come. Huh? And here's the thing, you want to be around when it comes through, because if you do something stupid because of the pressure, it may come through later and you ain't there to receive it. So you need to be strengthened while you're weak. Okay, let's look at this character here. In Genesis 22, you remember Abraham? And got to take his son to Mount Moriah. God told him in chapter 22, take Isaac, your only son, take him up there and sacrifice him. But if you look back to chapter 12, you remember when Abraham went into Egypt, didn't supposed to go in there and told his wife to lie and say she was so beautiful that you're my sister. Y'all remember that story? Now, that was a time that his faith failed him. All right? And I like this because God just don't talk about the mountain peaks. But he also lets you know good men, faithful men. Every now and then, their faith can fail them. You follow what I'm saying? And yet God ain't through with you. Huh? Sometimes God will come deliver you in spite of your faith. Huh? Amen. But he prefer that you trust him. See, he prefer that way. And that you're dependent on him. So now he's moving from failure to triumph. Here, I'm going to pick it up around 7. 22:7, it says, But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father?" And he said, "Here am I, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" All right? See, I know how this thing works. If you come in to offer to the Lord, you should have a ram. You should have an animal that you're going to put, you're going to burn him to the Lord. You got the wood, okay, we got the fire, but we need the animal. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. My. But the angel of the Lord, my God, this is a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. And I want to show you something as we read right in, you're going to see this. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here am I, here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do nothing to him. For now," look at this, "I know," the one that's speaking to him, "I know." See, that would be, the angels don't play that, like they told John. No, bow to us or nothing like that. No, but this is the angel of the Lord, angel of Jehovah, Yahweh. He says, and I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son," good grace, look at the emphasis here, "from me, son of the promise." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Jehovah Jireh. You know, sometimes we don't know when. Sometimes we don't know how. Sometimes God will just put it in your spirit. "Man, I'm going to provide for you." And I want to, everything in my flesh want to say, when? When you going to do it? How are you going to do it? And sometimes while you even going through, God is already supplying. God is already providing. But sometimes we are not conscious of noticing the provisions we already have. But Abraham knew. He said, God will provide. Here it is right here. This is the time, like Charles Stanley said, Abraham left the consequences of whether he was going to kill his son or not up to God, what God was going to do. But he wasn't going to miss it this time. He was going to obey God. You know, many times we go on disobeying, and even get an attitude when people tell you you need to obey. And see, you and I will suffer the consequences of disobeying God. Because God says he will chasten his children. Okay? And so what I'm saying, also try some of the promises. Use some of the promises. Because I'm telling you, there are some Christians using them promises. You know, they're going through the Word of God. They're seeing what God is doing. See, we have the Holy Spirit. Man. Am I getting through? Huh? See, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. you know, my saying is today when things happen, because the world is going around, and like I said, we know soon God going to end it all, bro, Hebrew. But my saying now is, who's next? That's the saying that I got now. It ain't about what you're going through, just who's next. We're going to all get a turn. You keep living. I understand that now. I mean, years ago, and I'm running around a teenager, and grandma and I said, that's okay. Keep living. Get up off that cement. You're young now. That's all right. And now, I'm beginning to. One of the things now, when you get older, you're more watchful. It's not that it wouldn't go on before, but I just wouldn't pay no attention to it. You notice when you get older, you slow down a little bit, and you begin to watch things. Watch the birds. Watch the ferments. Come on, somebody. Yeah, you. Because, see, yesterday it was your parents or grandparents. But they done gone to glory, and time is still winding up. Now, guess who the grandparents and the great-grandparents now? You and me. And we telling our children. And they laughing at you. I tell you, man, I had a chance to sit down with my oldest granddaughter. She came around, and my wife had left, and we sat and talked. I was glad to see her. And I could sit and explain some things to her, and I had some things I wanted her to read and whatever. Because what I wanted to do is break down why I say what I say, and why, you know, I want you to see it. I don't want to just tell you, but there's a reason for what I'm saying. And she was able to read it and see. And said, Granddad, I see now. I said, I love you, and I just want to keep you out of trouble. You know what I mean? I said, and that's that, and that's all. But the thing that you can do, you can give back to people, and sometimes you can give back to people by just the way you live, and you may never meet them personally, but you have such an attitude. God, I may stumble, but I'm gonna stumble in Christ. And I'm going to get up in Christ. And I know if I stumble, I got someone who will strengthen me. I don't have to get dismayed because I stumble. Now, why is that? Because Pastor said, no, because we just read it. I may fall, but can I get up? Like Alvin say, we have a setback. But do I have to let my setback be all what it's about? when I got God as my God. And I'm not saying he said it. He said he, your God. Whoa. It's one thing when I say it, but it's another thing when the Lord of Lords and King of Kings said, I am your God. I believe he put emphasis on it. Now, who else can you compare with me? See, God got an attitude about who he is. I mean, it's spiritual. It's right. Now, I need to get a little attitude because some he is against the devil, the world, and my flesh. Why is it the devil, the world system, and my flesh got to be the only one got an attitude? And that's a bad attitude they got toward me. Well, can I have an attitude when I know that I know I'm born again, I'm not the same, it get better for me? I'm going to see Christ face to face. There's a building for me that's not made with hands, and I know that, believe that. And I know all the groaning down here in this tent. The tent is temporary. We're going to fold this one day. But guess what's not going to be folded? My house that's made not with hands. You can't fold it. The structure, the spiritual structure of that. Oh, my God. Oh, right. Jesus, keep me. Keep me, God. I told you this is my sermon. So if I get a little excited and you don't, it's because it ain't for you, it's for me. I told you that. But it's the way God does things, it just, I mean, I can't figure him out, man. I mean, he does things and he just say, trust me, trust me, trust me. Whew. He's not trust. What you gonna do? You gonna trust me or you're not? Abraham said, I'm going to trust you this time. And isn't it amazing? This time he had to trust him with his son of the promise life. And see, Isaac was a type of Christ. You see, he had to trust him with that. And God was testing him. Let me tell you sometime. Sometime God will test you and me. You call that what you want. You see, Abraham was his man. Father Abraham, them promises. Go back in Genesis 12 and all of that. You can see all the promises that God made and how he was going to bless him right on through Jesus Christ. But still, his man had to go through some testing. What you going to do now? Am I real to you now? I gave you your son. Now I'm asking you to give him back to me. What you gonna do? Last time you wasn't obedient. Look at all the trouble you caused. Where you gonna run to? Abraham said, not this time. Come on, son. But Dad, where's the sacrifice? Don't worry about it. Now, it don't mean he didn't go with a broken heart. That don't mean he didn't have a reservation. Now, don't get me wrong. Let's tell the story. But with the reservation, with the broken heart, with the uncertainties, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing he's going to have to take his knife, Sister Wanda, and there's your babies laying on that altar, and you want to be so obedient to the Lord that Sheena laying there, and you coming out with a knife. See, in most of cases, that's disobedience time. Throw that knife down. I can't do it, God. I can't do it. But you know, God may not ask us to do something like that, but he's asking us to trust him. Maybe your situation is not that dire, but whatever it may be, God may be asking you to do something you don't want to do. God may be asking you to love me more. Let me use you in the church more. Let's stop walking, straddling the fence. Let's go all out for God. Like I say, even if I fail, but I'm going all out for him. Huh? Let's stop living the mediocre Christian life, But let's live a serious Christian life, huh? Because he said he's my God. He said he'll strengthen me. I'm not going to spend that much time on the others, but we'll move on. Let me give you the second one. The second one is the attitude that God is my comforter. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. You can help me, Steve, with that? Okay, that's good. That you help me out, now I can move a little bit better. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's Paul talking to the church at Corinth. He says he's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now notice this. See, comfort is to ease, but it also is to strengthen. So even what Paul was going through, sometimes God said, I'm not going to take you out of what you're going through, Paul, but I will comfort you in it. And just sometimes to make it another day, though I'm not coming out, but I need to be comforted in. Anybody, did you get that? See, sometimes we're always looking to come out. But sometimes, see Paul had a hard road. But watch this now. See, that same word, comfort, in the Greek, it was the same as the paraclete. And that was the Holy Ghost. You see, to come along the side of you to help you. Oh, my God, saints. See, the word of God, we have to preach it. Talking off the top of my head, or using some intellect or something, that mess ain't going to do us no good. We are in a spiritual warfare. Rubber bullets not going to work. He says, who comfort us. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's another thing this showed me. I need to get comfort by the comfort that God provides. See, by God, not just for me, not just for me, but I can comfort somebody else. Isn't that beautiful? See, I need you to get comfort that you can comfort me. I need you to get stronger when I'm weak and want to break down, that I got a shoulder I can lean on. And you can tell me about when you were there and how God comforts you. And now you're telling me, and you're taking the same comfort that God comforts you in your situation. And you say, well, Rick, come on, man. Let me put some of this on you. Let me help you, because I know what this comfort would do. I'm a witness. Been there. So let me tell you something. When we don't accept the promises of God and the things we got of God, sometimes you don't just hinder yourself. You hinder those in your sphere of influence. Because you know not of the comfort, therefore, you can't share the comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Beautiful thing, isn't it? Every now and then you need some comfort. Huh? Yeah, you may be going through a marital situation. Somebody else done been there, done that. How did you get comfort? Let me share it with you. Maybe going through some hard-headed children. Huh? How did you make it? Woo, yours worse than mine. Yeah, but I got some comfort. You know, when people are talking like that, sometimes you don't even want to comfort them. But you know they need comfort. They just hot. They hot with everybody. You ever seen people get in a situation, they get mad with everybody. Say, I haven't done nothing to you. Matter of fact, I came over here to help you. Mad with everybody. I don't even want you around here preaching. With me, as and Lord, it's about 30-some years, not even before I was a pastor. Helping people, it can get comical sometimes, but it can get real serious sometimes. And with what I had to do, when I'm going to help and I get them attitudes and things, I don't too much look at the people. I look right at God. And some kind of way, I think he smiles sometimes. He's, you still got to do it. Can't you send somebody else? Yeah, for certain things I can. But some don't have your anointing. You're going to do it. And guess what? You're going to learn something. And watch this. And then he'll throw it right back on me. Well, you spoke about how I comfort. I'm going to comfort you in this one. And you know what? He will. Because guess what? You made it out. And then you do it again. You made it out. Man. Remember one time I was, like I said, a lot of stuff when I was younger, I guess. I don't know. I guess maybe I call it, I'm a little bit more wiser now. When I'm trying to save a man's life and the folk running behind me, he telling me run through a light. Kill both of us. Because if they catch us in this car, they're going to kill you. But because I was called to come because the mom thought, and she was right, that she wanted to keep her kids out of jail. And if they saw me, they would stop. And they did. And they told me because they kept going. Till I got him where he could rent in the house. And they got out and had their buddies with them. They said, Pastor Ricks, only reason we didn't kill him because of you. I said, he said, when we saw you and you were with him and we just backed off. Because I've been knowing them when they were kids, some of them too. But I'm just telling you, it's some crazy stuff. Now today, I can't do that. I'm a little older than that. I was young, and hey, I walked through fire. Woo! Now, I God gave me a little more wisdom. Boy, I got some stories. Because I look back now, and I'm afraid. You did. Yeah, you did. You did it. There you go again. But he protected me. He strengthened me. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. And then and blessed too, because you do have some people that come back and say, man, I was just hot during that time. I'm sorry, man, Pastor, I did it. But at that point, I didn't want to talk to nobody. But I'm sorry. So you get all that. I say, hey, I understand. Hallelujah, God is good. Okay, how many? I got one more. Okay, the attitude that God is on my side. Psalms 118 and 6. Let brotherly love continue. Okay. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man do to me. Okay, awesome. Okay, all right. Okay, when you get an opportunity too, you can look at Hebrews 13 and 5 and 6. Also, they kind of like go together, that realize that God is on my side. There is not a time that God is not on your side. Let me tell you something. Even when God is disciplining you, he's on your side. Okay? He's on your side. You get a chance, read Hebrews chapter 12, and you can see some of that. In our communion chapter 1 Corinthians 11, read that sometime, and not just for the communion side of it, but see how God disciplined his children, you know, because that's a judgment chapter there, and also it's a chapter where you can judge yourself. God give us that opportunity to judge ourselves, that he wouldn't have to do it, but he speaks about that when he's chasing us and do what he need to do, them steps, that he does that we would not be judged with the world. So once I'm truly born again, I'm not being worried about being judged with the world at the white throne judgment. Because God will take me out first. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that's a good thing if the only option I got is to be the judge with the world. I don't want that. Okay, the last one. The attitude that God is my peace. Wow. You know, sometimes when folk looking at why you're not broken apart, and I know you, yeah, but I'm telling you, God is my peace. God is my peace. And without God, where would I be? Okay. Isaiah 9:6 let us know that he is the Prince of Peace. But John 14, verse 27. Hold it right there. Yeah, okay. You good, brother. You move fast. I like that. You move fast and I can turn the pages. Okay. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ. Okay, now go to my other scripture, John, brother, let your head up there. You got that for me? Okay. Now, peace I leave with you, my peace. Look at this. My peace. Who peace? Christ's peace. He's not going to leave you somebody else's peace. He's not going to leave you an angel's peace, a good man's peace, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's peace, but he's going to leave you his peace. He said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, sometimes I've heard people, and you see them going through something, or they may even be on their deathbed, and you know they're going through something. And you're there to try to comfort them, and they end up comforting you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you there, but then you heard, when you heard words like that, Pastor, I'm at peace. Wow. Now you want to know, where is peace coming from? There it is. There it is. There it is right there. When you have made your peace with God, or a better word, Christ has made your peace with God. What is it, Romans 5:1? There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. I mean, you can't understand it, but those who have it know they got it. So sometimes that kind of peace, Sister Barmore, that surpasses all understanding, as long as you and God know you got it, it's all right, because they can't understand. How can you have this peace with what you just went through? Who's keeping you? You say Jesus. Huh? And so there are promises that we need to know them, capture them, and apply them. See, if you don't try God, how you know he don't work? All right, coming on off now, Isaiah 26:3. You got it up there? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because, see, there's my word. That's been my whole message. The last part. Why? You got to trust. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Sometimes you're not happy in Jesus because you don't trust and you won't obey. And wonder why you ain't happy. I guarantee you, if you trust him, if you obey him, you have that peace.